Thank you. I'd like to welcome you all to this Monday night edition of the Winfrey Conference Line. And I thank you all for tuning in. And since this is a simulcast, I always assume there's people that are listening for the first time that don't know what we're doing here. So I will do a little bit of introduction and try to explain it. And while you're listening to this call, you may notice that there's two things happening. There's the sound that you're getting over your internet or over the phone through your audible ears, auditory system, and there's things that your brain is going to be listening to and processing. And simultaneously, there's the possibility, for those of you that are open to it, for another kind of communication to be happening. And this is a communication that happens outside of time and space. We are, of course, in our bodies, we are in time and we are in space, and we're kind of somewhat imprisoned here. But there's also a part of each of us that is not imprisoned, that is outside of time and space. And during this call, it will be our intention to make a connection with the part of you that's outside of time and space, and that if we make that connection, and of course, this connection can only be made also if you, of free will, would like it to happen for you. So if you're just checking it out and you want to check it out and you say, I'm not sure I want to be open to that at this point, that's fine. You can hear this call at a lot of different levels, and there's absolutely no violation of anything for yourself that you would not like to have for yourself and be open to for yourself. So for those that are open, there's a communication that occurs outside of time and space. And many people have experienced this. And that communication occurs as a vibration. The way it downloads into the physical is that you may notice things like goosebumps. You may notice an opening of your chakras, a warm feeling inside of yourself. You may notice a feeling of love that just comes from nowhere. For everyone, it'll be a little bit different. And the reason that I am doing this call, and we've been doing this now for, I guess, over a year, or why I initiated it, is because I had the unusual experience of communicating to what I have learned to call group souls, who are or represent themselves as the oversouls for our planet. Now, this is like a new concept for many people. An oversoul, what's a group soul? How do I know anything is beyond the physical? And quite frankly, I had the same questions for quite some time when this communication was occurring. And I said, how do I know this is real? How do I know who's talking to me? And so I always looked at it like an experiment to say, well, I'm just going to ask questions. I'm going to see what I can learn. I'm going to see how it works. I'm going to see if I think it's positive, is it something that I want to share with other people? And how do I share that with other people? I have no idea. And so this has been a big exploratory process for me. And I guess after 7 years of having this experience, I come to the conclusion that it is real. It is something that can be shared with other people. And I've learned a little bit how to share that. And this conference call is one of those ways that we do that. And one of the aspects of this call is that although I may be the focus, I'm talking and you're listening to me, it requires something which I call co-creation, or the individual participation of each of you in your spiritual side. And that's something that I can't force and you can't force. It's something you have to come almost as an automatic response to say, yes, this is okay. And the response doesn't even come from your conscious mind, because you could say, I want this experience, and then nothing happens. Or you could sit there being very skeptical, and in the middle of your skepticism, something shifts inside you, and it suddenly starts to make sense. So each of us comes to this moment right now with our human baggage. And what is our human baggage? Number one, it's our belief systems. We've all been, some of us have come from religious backgrounds. Some of us have read philosophies. Some of us have read Wayne Dyer. Some of us have read metaphysical things. Some have studied this. We've all come with an idea of how we think things work. And oftentimes when you have a very strong idea of how you think things work, you take all your experiences and put them in the framework of your ideas. Like if you've studied psychology, you might meet somebody and say, they're a type A personality, or this person is a sinner, or whatever. Whatever framework you have of organizing your reality system. And I would suggest at this moment to be very neutral and suspend all of your reality ideas, because we're dealing with not an idea, but an experience. And moving from a belief about how things work to an actual inner understanding of how things work, a resonance, an intuition that I think that's right. And then we're dealing with an integration of how do you take that and make it a living reality in your life. And this is going to be different for every person. There's nothing here to follow or nothing to repeat or nothing to tell someone else that here's the new truth. Because it's really a matter of integrating this into your life on a daily level, where instead of living within a mental type reality system, an understanding of how things work, you're suddenly outside of your mind and you're living within what you could call your hologram, your expanded energy field, which connects to your physical body. And it's something that normally, for most people, they're disconnected from. They don't have that experience. And during the course of this call, it's my hope that we can do things and say things that will help generate that experience for you as a real experience, not just a belief system. Now, why in the world would I think that I could do this, or that we could do this, and it works that way? How did I come to that conclusion? Well, most of my life, I've been very much a student of, I guess, what we could call metaphysics, reading many, many, many books, from everything from Indian holy men to Ram Dass to Carl Jung, up the gamut, Yogananda. And I would read these books, and I would always resonate with much of the stuff that was presented. And sometimes while I would read them, I would kind of get high. But then when it came into my regular life, I didn't know how to implement what was being said in the book. Like, for example, you know, so many people and so many books and so many teachings say everything is love. We're all one. God is everywhere. We're supposed to love each other. Now, you can read that and you can say, what a wonderful ideal. And then you go out into your life, and I know for myself, at one point, I would try to implement that in a way that I thought I was following these teachings, and it would be like I'd be the world's biggest sucker with my heart on my sleeve. And then people would take advantage of me or think that I needed to give love and I was a sucker and I was weak. And that was not obviously the way of transmitting this kind of love that I was reading about. But I didn't know how to do it. And then many of you know that in the year 2000, I discovered a young man who I was sure was Edgar Cayce, and I wrote a book about it called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And as I was writing the book and studying the book, there was an explanation for how the great cosmos works that I had never been exposed to before. Because there was an intelligence that was speaking through this young man in what is commonly called channeling that identified themselves not as a single entity, but as a group soul. In fact, their exact word was a social memory complex. And in the readings that were coming through David Wilcock, there was this extraordinary wisdom and this extraordinary understanding of the human condition and a great deal of compassion for the human condition. And as I read those, having read many, many metaphysical tracts, I immediately recognized the truth, the inherent truth in the wisdom. And whoever was talking was far, far more expansive than David Wilcock was by leaps and bounds. And I got respect for this wisdom. And then there was a cosmology presented that was different from anything I had ever been exposed to. Because this group soul, and they identified themselves by the name Ra, was describing a circumstance where they were composed of billions of individual souls, like you and me, who had gone through series and series of reincarnation episodes on this planet, as well as other planets throughout our universe, and they graduated, and some religious spiritual groups call this kind of graduation in this realm, they call it getting off the wheel of reincarnation. Of course, I had read that word many times, but I never knew where anyone went once they got off the wheel of reincarnation. Well, now there was a description of where you went. And the part of you that's in an energy form right now is the same in the same place or somewhat similar place to where the energies of these group souls are. And this group Soul was describing some of the things they've done in the history of our planet that were just quite amazing for me to. Now, let me say, as I was initially studying this, I didn't know if it was true or not. I didn't accept it as being true. I said, maybe it's true. I know David Wilcock is Edgar Cayce. I know there's immense wisdom that's being presented in his readings. But when it came to the cosmology, there was no way for me to directly validate it. So I said, okay, as I'm writing this book, I'm just going to express this cosmology and say, what if? What if this is true? And the cosmology, in very brief explanation, was that we, as humans, are on a track where we reincarnate over and over and over again, perhaps for hundreds of thousands of years, sometimes going from one planet to another planet to another planet, and that there's a part of us that you could call your high self, which is directing this reincarnation and redirecting somewhat the experiences we get in this realm, designed so that we can get the lessons to graduate. And when we would graduate, one of the places we could go, this is not the only one, but one of them is to be a member of this group Soul, the Ra Group. And the Ra Group now takes on the responsibility of acting like a helper from the other side for planets at lower levels of evolution, and making sure that we have the maximum opportunity to continue our growth and our lessons in this realm. One of the things they described that they did was that there was a planet, oh, maybe a couple hundred thousand years ago in our solar system, by the name of Maldek, and that Maldek exploded and destroyed itself through some kind of devastation caused by the inhabitants of that planet. And so there were many souls that needed to continue their evolution. And so the Ra Group says they moved the souls from Maldek. By the way, when it exploded, it became the asteroids, which we now know exist in our solar system, and that those souls were moved from Maldek to Earth to continue their incarnation. And many of us who are listening right now very likely had lifetimes on Maldek. And, of course, in the history of our planet, there has been civilizations that have come and gone, like Atlantis, like Lemuria, that are written about metaphysically, that have been, the exact histories have been quite lost, although almost everyone who has a channeling experience and talks to groups from the other side has some recognition that those places were real. Even Edgar Cayce, there's a book out called Edgar Cayce on Atlantis, which describes the history of Atlantis based on all the readings Edgar Cayce did, which had people that had Atlantean incarnations. So when we get in this realm, we can get stuck here for hundreds of thousands of years, and maybe even longer, because this is a realm where the reality system here totally makes the other realms invisible to us. And it's hard to believe they exist. It's hard to believe we connect with them. And now there's this group Soul that's from these other realms that's directly stating how it works and who they are, and that they're available to us, and that they can work with us. Now, as I first read this, I was really skeptical. I said, how would they work with me? How would I know that's real? How do I know I can trust them? You know, questions that I would suggest that all of you ask as you, if you're hearing this for the first time or opening up to it for the first time, ask these questions yourself, because I'm going to be presenting things here that you shouldn't believe the first time you hear them. In fact, the best result is to provoke you to a state of curiosity, just as I was provoked to say, could that be real? Could that be true? And do your own research, as I did, because I did a huge amount of research to come to the conclusions that what I had come upon was real, was accurate, and it explained a lot of things in the history of mankind that I've never understood an explanation for before. So I'm in the midst of writing the book, and then I have this experience where I have a new relationship that starts channeling, and the voice identifies itself to me as the Council of Elohim. And again, I am very mistrustful. I'm saying, who is this? Who is talking to me? How do I know I can trust them? And I was actually concerned that maybe this was some negative source that was going to try to sidestep me from completing this book. But in fact, they were completely supportive of the book. And I would talk to them about the Ra Group, and they would answer questions exactly as the Ra Group had answered them. And of course, many of you know the story and have heard it many times. During the course of this initial 6 months of channeling, there was one prediction of a newspaper headline where I asked them to prove themselves to me, and they accurately predicted a headline 2 weeks in advance. There was another situation where they saved my sister's life and in a medical miracle, and there were many minor situations of little predictions, lots of wisdom, and an amazing explanation of this realm and how it works that was not only supportive of the explanation of the Ra Group's explanations, but even added huge amounts of data to it. And the Elohim was also a group soul, as they described themselves, but they were outside of this realm. The best way that I could understand it and put it in simple words is the Ra Group was a conglomerate of energy that was layered almost into the physical, but not in the physical, as an energy flowing through the physical. They describe it at one point in one of the David Wilcock channelings like an amoeba of energy in the universe that when we could tap into their frequency or resonate with them, they could flow their energy into our space and we could feel them. And in fact, they could even act as an inner companion to us, energetically. And so, I was still unfolding to all this. I didn't know or feel that Ra was my inner companion at that point, but I did feel an energy when I would read the channelings that are in the book. And I would read them out loud to my friend while I was writing the book. And we would both experience this energy when I read them out loud. There was kind of, I happen to be sensitive to energy, so I can see energy in a room. I don't see colors, but I see like a distortion of the light, and I can see light around people. And when we would read the channelings, that light energy would be present. I hope those of you who have read the book might try this sometime. Just read a channeling out loud to someone that is just open to the possibility of it, and notice if there's a shift in the energy in your space. Well, the Elohim group, to a great extent, had not reincarnated into this realm. They were part of the original creation of this realm. They're outside of time, outside of space. And, of course, from my vantage point, and from yours, I'm sure, we can only use our imaginations to think of what it would be like to exist outside of time and space, because we exist in time and space, and our only reference point for existence is our time and space anchor points. Well, they said they could move into time and space. In fact, they described it like jumping in and out of a swimming pool. They could move in and be out again. And when they moved in, it wasn't like they would move in like a body. They would move in as an energy, and an energy that could project from outside time and space into time and space. Now, I am, like, doing all these channelings, and they're telling me this, and I'm not sure I can believe it, but I'm not sure I can't believe it. I'm just saying I'm going to tape all of this. I'm going to do it over a period of time, and if there's something to it, then it will become apparent to me. So I asked many, many, many questions to them. I asked them how they created this realm. I asked them, those of you that are familiar with the word Elohim know that that was one of the words that was used in the Bible for God. And they seemed to acknowledge that, yes, they had had many instances in the history of mankind where they spoke to people, and that they offered their help, and they did help. And at different times of our society and the level of collective consciousness, rather than try to explain the sophisticated understanding that I'm taking in and sharing with you, it was just easier to just say, we're God. And it was simplicity. People were simple. And they tried to give guidelines through various people who became some of the top religious leaders in the history of how this worked and how to work with the people at that time. Now, keep in mind, this is a circumstance where they understand that everyone is going to keep reincarnating. So they will work with a group during a certain historical period, and they'll work with that group based on that period, the potential for understanding in that period. And then later on, when the group has evolved, they will come back and work with them with a higher level of understanding, and then later on, even a higher level of understanding. So I believe that this Elohim group is using me because the world today is very sophisticated and needs a high level of understanding. This is not about religious conversionaries. This is understanding literally the science of creation and the part each of us plays in that science of creation. Because you who are listening are a human that also has part of you in this field that you can't see directly, which you can access, though. You can learn to access it. And if you're going to learn to access it, you first have to look for it. You have to learn how to look for it and see the rules of discovering the part of you that's in other dimensions. That for many, is in the same dimensions as these two group souls, the Elohim and the Ra group. Because when you access the part of yourself that's in those dimensions, you also open yourself up to the possibility of accessing them, and them accessing you, in which case you have now expanded your hologram much wider and larger than you could have ever imagined. And you now can walk around on this realm. At the same time, part of you is in the other realms and create from the other realms in a way that it comes, trickles down, and manifests into physical reality. And this is what I have been learning over the course of my many conversations with the Elohim and my study of the Ra material. Well, as I was amidst of all this, and I had discovered that it was real, at least it was as real as to me as anything could be, I was experiencing just, you know, I'm talking to them like I'm talking to somebody on the telephone. And we're having very relaxed conversations, answering questions about anything I could think of that wouldn't violate my free will. And it all started to fit together like a missing piece of a great cosmic jigsaw puzzle. And as it started coming together for me, and started coming together for some of the people around me, and I would give talks on my book, and I would start to talk about some of my own experiences, I would find that when I would go give a talk, the room would turn into light energy. There would be this incredible energy in the room, and I could talk for hours and no one got bored. And it wasn't because I was interesting, it was because of the energy in the room. People were feeling that energy. And I would test it because I would stop talking and the energy would stay. I could stop talking for quite some time. I didn't test how long because I was there to talk, but, you know, 10 minutes, everyone would feel the energy and feel like it was fine to be quiet because the energy was present. Well, I didn't create this energy. This would happen no matter how I felt prior to giving a talk. This was at a bookstore or different expos. I mean, I could feel depressed. Like I'm human, and I go through all my human things, and I don't pretend to be otherwise. And I would still, in the past, if I was feeling those things and I had to address the public, I would try to get out of it because I feel I wouldn't do a good job. But I kept, just disciplining myself to say, okay, I'm supposed to talk. I'm going to walk up on stage and do this talk. And no matter how I felt, this magic would happen in the room. And people were reading my book, and they were studying it in churches, and people were taking it seriously. Now, I wasn't sure people would take it seriously when I was writing it, because I said, this is really wild. And, I mean, basically, it was as if I'm communicating with the very sources that were instrumental in the creation of Judeo-Christianity and probably most of the other religions on the planet. And it took me a long time to have the courage to say that, even though I knew it was true, because I said, how are people going to respond to me saying this? And I was scared that maybe they would put me on a pedestal. Maybe they would expect things of me that I couldn't deliver. What happened if I went through a depressed day and people saw me that way? Would it discredit? I mean, I had all these questions. And I know how it feels because, you know, it's like when one is going to do certain things, one that are really big, you never feel ready for it. The conscious mind says, well, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll make the phone call tomorrow, or this or that. Well, I was forcing myself, regardless of whatever else I thought, and I kept doing it, and I kept seeing very, very consistently, not once did they ever not show up in the room. And I asked in a channeling, and they said that was them. They were dropping a beam of energy or an orb of energy into the room, and that's how they, one of the ways that they could interface between their realm and come into this dimension in our realm. And so I asked them, I said, well, this seems like it's a really important thing, and I wonder how I can make this available to more people. I know it's energy that people want to feel. People have read about all of this stuff, but not a lot of people actually feel it or have this experience, and certainly even fewer have verbal communication with the source of the energy that's projecting it into this realm, and can go back and forth and say, well, we did this, was that you? How did that work? How did this work? And so I spent quite some time doing that, and I decided that I discovered that they had free conference calls, which that's what this is. It didn't cost any money to do it. So I said, well, maybe if I did a conference call and people came on the conference call, oh, I asked the question to them, would you work with the people on the call? Could they connect with you, even though we weren't in the same room? And they said that was a great idea. So I started doing it, and we started doing it a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago, and I was very careful. Those people that were on the call originally know that I was very tentative. I didn't want to do it unless it really worked. I mean, I didn't need to do something unless people were getting results from it. This has been a kind of a volunteer effort on my part. It's a labor of passion, and I just don't need to be busy doing this for nothing. And a few people came in on the call. Some of them were on the call tonight who were in those original calls, and they started having experiences. Things started shifting for them. For some of them, they noticed the energy. Some of them, when we do the calls, we put people in the light. We send the energy to people. And for the highest good, some people were having experiences of healings occurring for people they were sending this energy to. And I learned to become rather perceptive of feeling the energy. And that I started to understand that one of the plights of mankind is that most people are cut off from this energy. They have contracted their energy, and they lived within a reality system that was justifying their contracted energy. Like, for example, one reality system might be, this is a dog-eat-dog world, you got to get them before they get you, it's only business, it doesn't matter, I make decisions based on business, it doesn't matter if this person gets hurt. Or another reality system might be, if you don't come to church on Sundays, you're going to go to hell and pray to God, and that most people, no matter what, were not in this flow of energy. And that this flow of energy that came from the higher realms through us into the earth was like the way that the holograms would come together. Obviously, in the physical realm, we are individuated. We have separate bodies. We have separate emotions. We have separate bank accounts. And that's okay. because that's the way this realm works. But simultaneously, while we're in this realm, we have our energy system, which is actually, could be said to be, we are more of our energy system than we are our body. Our energy system is not going to die. Our energy system carries our karmic computer with it. And our energy system is fluid. It can expand, it can contract. Except, it takes some searching to find out, in, you know, personal investigation in terms of you and your own life to prove to yourself that this is true. Because if you don't make some attempt at proving it, you'll never figure it out. It's something you have to look for and validate. And otherwise, you will just remain in a contracted space and live a life from that contracted space. And when you die, you'll reincarnate and you'll come back into another contracted space. And this goes on and on and on and on and on. So they were telling me and showing me how to expand into your hologram, to your energy field. And then they explained that how they could join with us while we're in that, while we were in that experience of our energy. So in these conference calls, the goal here is to create a group energy. Now, we have perhaps hundreds of people all over the world right now who are listening. And each of you obviously is in a separate location, in a separate home, in a separate body, in a separate family, in a separate bank account. Simultaneously, each of you has an energy that's on the other side of this veil. That is the energy that you could call your soul that continues after you die. So, during this call, we are having the intention of connecting with that energy of ourselves on the other side of the veil. And then, since that energy is beyond time and space, to be able to connect it right now with everyone else that's on the call. Now, of course, we're all strangers to each other. We don't know each other. Now, I'm asking you to say to be open to connecting to these strangers in their energy fields for a brief moment. Now, we have done that before. If you ever sat in a movie and you got touched by the movie and you could feel the vibration of the audience, and when everyone left, there was a conviviality and a camaraderie amongst the audience, you did exactly that. You and everyone in that movie theater touched your energies on the other side. And they were a bunch of strangers, and yet the movie was the vehicle to create that weaving, interweaving of soul energies. Now, if you took the same movie and stuck it in your DVD and watched it in your bedroom, your experience would not be the same as if you watched it in a movie theater. And that's because when you're in your bedroom, you don't have the opportunity to experience and share this group energy with everyone else. So what we're doing on this call is very similar, but it's even more far out because we're not even in the same room. We are scattered all over the place, all over the United States, all over Canada. We've had people in Australia, China, the Netherlands, England come into this call. And we're going to say, what if we can do this? What if we can touch our energies together on the other side? Now, some of you notice that when I say that, there's a shift in energy in your space. You can feel that shift. Now, if you're one of those that's not feeling that shift, you might try again next week. You might prepare for this call. You might make sure you're in a quiet environment. The TV is off. There's not people disturbing you in the background. Because all those things will divide your energy, so this can't happen for you. You may find out that you're in your mind and you're thinking about it. And your mind is thinking and thinking, and that's blocking you from the energy. You may find out that you're one of those people that have great traumas and sorrows that you're carrying forth from this life and other lifetimes, and that it's harder for you to experience this energy because those traumas are in the way. And it won't let the energy flow through you. And many people, or there have, I won't say many, but there's been people that have come into our calls that have had those kinds of things and that have come in over and over again. And usually after a period of time, that will start to release. So, we're creating a group energy. This is one of those moments where I could say, if I stop talking, the energy will continue. And that's one way for me that validates that it's actually happening, that we've created this group energy field between us, and that it's a co-creative effort, even though it's my voice that's the focus, each of you is doing it. And you know you're doing it. Now, the key is can you keep doing it? Can you keep holding that energy? Because every person that can do that, can hold that energy in their life, has now become a very, very important vehicle for helping this planet and helping the people around you, because it provides a stability to your own energy that transcends anything that happens to you in the physical. And in fact, I would hypothesize this, because I can't say this for sure, but I think this is true, that if you learn to hold that energy and you die, you now have made a huge step towards your own graduation from this realm. Because now you're holding an energy not of this realm, but outside this realm. That doesn't mean that you don't do in the physical realm all the things that you need to do. You still need to have your job, your husband, your children, whatever your ambitions. You now just have an extra added benefit, an extra added, how can I say it? You play those things out, but you're not bound by them anymore because you've anchored your energy in dimensions higher than the physical. So now, whatever you do in the physical, you can do in a much more masterful way because it doesn't matter so much. And when it doesn't matter, you can do a better job. It's now 7:20, and the call is over at 7:25. I'd like to give you folks who are listening on BBS a little bit of follow-up on this. So if you're interested, you can take some further steps. One of the things is to go listen to this website I put up called theinsidescoop.org. And on that website, it's basically a 30-minute audio tape where I compiled little sound bites of the people that were involved with me in this experience. There are some actual channelings, and you can hear how they talk to me. You can hear the voices of how they talk to me. There's my sister who's talking about her miracle. There's things there that, if you're skeptical, which you should be, I hope will give you enough evidence that this really happened for me and that I'm definitely talking to somebody outside of this realm. And whether they are who they say they are is going to require your own study and resonance to come to that conclusion. But the first step is that I couldn't make this up. It really happened. And on that website, the insidescoop.org, there's the evidence that I believe that people who are open-minded would have to come to that conclusion. Then we are having conference calls every night of the week. I only do the one on Monday, and I consider this kind of an introductory talk because I always assume there's strangers on it, and I try to include everybody. On Tuesdays, I don't do it. Wayne and Suzanne do it, and we actually read a channeling that presents some information from the other side, and you can listen to it. And then there's an email list. You can join that list and get the channeling sent to you in the mail so you can read it again. And it's just stuff for you to study. Wednesday through Sunday, we do a call. And the call is not really any talking at all. It's purely creating a group energy, calling in the light, putting intentions out or prayers, getting the assistance of these group souls to help us on our personal matters when it's for the highest good of all concerned, and on planetary healing. So my idea is that if you feel this energy, there's the opportunity 7 days a week to get a reference point for it, and it doesn't cost any money. So it's within the scope of anyone, within the means of anyone who can afford the phone calls or has flat rate, long distance, to check in often and see if it works for them. So I'm going to close this for BBS with a calling in of the light. Now, we are simultaneously, we have probably 15 people on a phone line that are with me that are helping to hold the energy for this call. And we're going to continue with the phone line after the call is finished on BBS. Those of you who would like to call in on the phone line, if you go to the website higher-vision.org, you'll have an email where you can request the phone number. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, no matter where they are, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of our galaxy through our solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. We see this energy moving through our sadnesses, our hurts, our pain. And we're opening up to let this energy replace those pains. And right now, we join all our energies together. We've been doing it anyway through the call, but now we're just saying it. We're joining our energies together as a group energy. And we invite those group souls to blend with us. And we call them the Elohim and Ra. When we're asking for this blending, if you have a particular spiritual orientation and you have a name for an energy on the other side that you work with, you call them in also, or only, it doesn't matter. This is a matter of intent. It's not about the names. And now we experience this huge group energy that starts with all of us combined with these two group souls, and we're going to send this energy around the Earth in one big healing ball. And we're going to just visualize that and ask that it can fill in any areas of darkness, of negativity, of war-torn places where there's sadness and hurt and pain. And we ask for the support and help of these group souls and God in any way they see fit for the highest good of all concerned. I hate the-